Welcome to Entrepreneurs and Playbook. We're here at Fanatics Fest, the biggest show in sports and entertainment. And I have one of the biggest titans here. He's a transformational titan coming from a huge business, a multi-billion-dollar business. He knows how to take a startup. He knows how to take the leaders of a startup and expand their talent, their skills, and their desires. The amazing Alex Baikoff, welcome to the plate.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you inviting me here. I'm glad it's nice and quiet in here.
Yeah, it's always quiet up in action. I was saying to someone, at the old days, we had these expensive microphones, and you won't be able to hear us. Now we have these little digi mics, and you won't even hear Kevin Hart and Tom Brady and all these guys that are around us.
Very cool. Technology's awesome.
It is, and it's important.
Yeah.
And for you, let's start there. Technology is awesome, but a lot of people find threats or punishment and things that are awesome. In your life, you, like I, have had to transform punishment into protection, promotion, love, and perfection as we do technology. What are some of those lessons that you've learned as a transformational type that you're helping other people to be aware of and to help them transform it into that promotion?
What I've really learned a lot is really some experience I had with my daughter. I know that we've become a social media society, but that social media has really created a disconnect for us. It's really unfortunate. You know, we live on this phone so much, you know, and I'm here, I'm carrying it with me, but it's not personal, right? And we're always distracted. So when I had my own struggles in my life with my daughter, that phone was dictating my life. So I was always physically present, but that phone was making where I wasn't emotionally present. So I was looking for that for answers. And what I found out is really just listening and reflecting what was really helped me. So I'm a big fan of technology, but I'm also a fan of the most advanced computer in the world, which is us. You know, technology is a tool, but it's not something that we really need to change the way we communicate.
Now, you're becoming one of the leading coaches as that transformational titan that you are. What are some of the critical business issues that you see as common denominators of the people you work with?
I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed is when people separate that technology and actually have connections, right? So much we're putting titles on people, but really people want to see what's in my heart. And if you can get people to understand that we're just part of a big family in the business community and you're all the same and you have that common goal to create something better and make an impact, that's a difference. In most businesses, they're focusing so much on making that money and then it doesn't translate to connection. And in our businesses, it's all about family, treating people with respect. And you have to focus on respect for people to buy into what your agenda is, which is a good agenda, right? There's no condition to it. It's just, let's try to do things right and together and problem solve together.
It's interesting that you bring up family and business because your family owns one of the biggest businesses in America, over $10 billion or even more. In other words, you've had everything that most Americans dream of, planes and yachts and everything. Number one, what is that like to have a family business that is so successful? The good and the bad.
Well, the good is it's really amazing what my father's done. So there's a huge level of pride. And it kind of reminds you of what it does actually take to make something happen. A lot of people want the shortcuts. There are no shortcuts.
Yeah.
My dad had work ethic. I had work ethic. And still to this day, I bust my ass. My dad still to this day busts his butt, but he loves what he's doing. Right, so many people in the business world, they're focusing on trying to make money. I think my dad was really just trying to provide for his family and ran his heart. When my brother took over the business, it changed dramatically. It just grew bigger and bigger. And today it is over a $10.5 billion business. But it's really learning from what others experience and learning to respect. I look at what my dad did and it's amazing. So I have the utmost respect for him. But more importantly, what I learned from my dad in our business is anybody can make money, right? It's super easy to make money. The hardest thing to do is try to save it. And that's what we forget to do, right? And you and I have had big conversations about that. I've pissed away money like the average idiot, but what I realized, why was I doing it, right? I was throwing around to tell people, look how macho I am and driving the fancy cars and all that stupid stuff. But inside, I didn't feel good. And most of these people that have these businesses, they don't feel good. And I had to get to that point where what feels good for me, and really it was, you know, meeting people like you, Tim Story, other people, and just really connecting with the younger generation and not talking about money, talking about being emotionally present.
I think your next book should be Average Idiot.
Well, what I want to start is there's a water called Smart Water. I want to create a water called Dumb Water for the rest of us.
You know? I got dumb waiters, though. You have dumb water. Yeah. Now, We did talk about the challenges of doing business with your family. I've hired my oldest daughter.
Yeah.
She is amazing. But there's different challenges than with my other employees. For you, what was the biggest challenge of having a family business?
So for me, it was really different. You know, I had to learn a lot. You know, in my life, I wanted to, it was hard with my dad being here and trying to meet that bar because he's an anomaly, right? So you're living under his thing. So all I was trying to do most of my life was trying to get his acknowledgement, right, in the family business. You know, other brothers have worked in the business and they didn't have that same vibe of what they wanted to do. My other brother who runs social, he really saw it differently. So there wasn't challenges. I think the challenge was that there are people that are better at certain things and that's okay. And I think that's the biggest challenge is we're not all gonna be great at something, but find that one lane you're good at and stick in it. And that was the problem is I was good at production and solving problems, but I wasn't good at sales. So I had to stick in my lane. My brother is really good with people and seeing the future. Other ones, you gotta find your lane and find out what you excel in. So those are some of the challenges.
One of the things that I love about you is your heart, and you are very sincere about helping other people. And a lot of times when we have that as a priority in our lives, we get taken advantage of. And to that end, we have to be accountable for it. And we have to know that's our genetic and energetic inheritance. For you, how do you balance or harmonize having such a caring heart, but also protecting yourself from being taken advantage of?
Well, that's a great question, first of all, but it wasn't an easy process. You know, I always wanted to share, and having a big heart, maybe you're stupid sometimes, and it's okay to be stupid, and there are gonna be people that are gonna screw you over, that's life. But I didn't wanna go through my life protecting myself. I figured, you know what, if someone's gonna screw me over, they're gonna screw me over. But what I really learned is I had to tell myself the truth about me. I am sensitive, I am caring, I am nurturing. And when people were screwing over, it didn't matter because I was still being true to myself. And like I tell everybody, know your truth, forget about anybody else's agenda and their truth of you. That's all that matters in this life, to follow your heart. Your heart really is a good guide. It's gonna make mistakes, but you're gonna learn from those mistakes. So I'd rather go through the world and sit there and download all my information, be as vulnerable as I can, without regrets. If we're going through life not being vulnerable, we're gonna have regrets.
And in the context of those regrets, being a transformational titan that you are, Alex Baikoff, you have really formulated your own non-negotiables in your life. And I see you, especially as a father, as prioritizing your relationship as a father, as a non-negotiable. What are your top three non-negotiables and why, for the sake of what, are they the non-negotiables?
Well, I'm never going to let somebody take away my truth. That's number one. I'm never going to let someone push their agenda on me. Those are super, super important to me. And I'm never going to deal with people that are transactional. Okay, those are three things you wanted for. The fourth thing is I call it the D's. I'm going to stay away from depression, drugs, disengagement, and more importantly, I'm going to stay away from the dumbasses. And those are kind of what works for me.
I love it. My next book coming out, Super Bowl, is Don't Do Business with Dicks.
Yeah. Well, and we've got the biggest dick somewhere around here at the show, Dick's Sporting Goods. And by the way, they don't sell dicks. I went in there twice looking for them. There's none there.
One of the things also that I love about you is your sense of humor. And in the business world, having a very quick sense of humor, being very sharp is how I see you. I find there's a risk today as a middle-aged white male to have a quick sense.
Yeah, we were white. Sorry, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it happens. But have you found in the shift of being able to be funny and not take yourself so seriously when other people may be offended or take you seriously?
You know, it's interesting because you've seen me. I've had to morph a little bit because I am very, very quick, right?
Very.
So there are people that don't get it. Like I was in Tennessee and I made a comment about something, and Tennessee, it wasn't the right place to do it, so I backed up. But all I know is I'm more likely to make people happy with my sarcasm or my humor. And when I tell people all the time, you only have to be right 51% of the time, right? Maybe I'm going to offend people the other part. It's okay. But I'd rather be the best version of myself. I am funny. I am humor. And it breaks that communication. There's so many people in the world, they are unhappy. So if I can give them that permission slip to joke, I broke the ice. Last time at an event with David Meltzer, that was his name. And we're on a panel, and I break the ice with some comedy. So now I've got everybody's guard down, and now they want to listen. Because I don't want to lecture to somebody. I don't want to talk to somebody. I want to talk with somebody. And that's the problem. Humor lets you talk with somebody.
I have a very unique way in my own coaching business, whether it's free, group, one-on-one, business advisory, or investment consulting. And they have different frameworks to it. You are a titan of transformation, an extraordinary coach, teacher, and mentor. What framework do you utilize to help your clients?
The biggest framework I do is I focus on what the most important, I try to figure out where their emotional debt is. The problem in society, we're all going someplace. Okay, and in my life, I got to the top of the mountain, and guess what? I wasn't using my map. I was using somebody else's map. So my deal is, I got to get you to find that starting point. Wherever you go in the world, if we go to Disneyland, it's going to say, you are here, right? But in our own life, where are we? So one of the biggest things, I got to find out where you are. And so I have an emotional debt quiz I have people take, and it helps me understand where they are. Because not every plan works for everybody. I got to figure out where you are. In my life, that emotional debt was certain baggage I had where maybe someone told me I mumbled or someone told me I walked a certain way. I had to get all that out and focus on rebooting myself. So that's the formula. I try to reboot you back to your core of who you are, and then we start building. And I get people to quit comparing. We are a society based on comparison, and that is a really, really bad model. The best thing you want to compare yourself is only to you. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else. But that's kind of the foundation right there.
Yeah, comparison is the thief of joy. We both know that.
And yeah.
To understanding where we are, I'm curious, with your genetic and energetic inheritance and your own self-examination, where are you today?
I'm at the Jacob Javits Center. I'm a fanatic. Well, it's a good question because I'm always looking at where I am today, right? I mean, it's weird. I think you always have to kind of do that reality check, okay? Yeah, I'm here. And the way I do that is I play back my day all the time, and was I true to myself? Because in the space that you and I are in, it's really easy to get sidetracked and lose what our real mission is. So I always make sure, how am I doing? I check in with myself, and I ask myself this really dumb question that people think is annoying. I ask myself, how's it working out for me today? Right, so I always make sure, and as long as I'm, you said this, I have crazy energy, and I don't put caffeine in my body, I don't put anything in my body. I'm crazy energetic, and this gets out really weird, I'm actually happy. I like myself, and I've accepted my flaws, and I've told myself my truth. That's the trick. Every day I'm telling myself the truth, whether I don't like part of it, but so how can I not be happy? I'm not lying, I'm being the best version of myself, good or bad. I'm Alex Pankoff, Transformation Titan, I'm fucking owning it.
How long have you been working on that? I know for me, it's been 18 years.
Yeah.
I had my quantum shift, taking on coaches and mentors and teachers like you have. How long have you been on the journey of self-exploration and accountability?
I think I've been on the journey for a while, right? We're all on some sort of journey, but do we know what that journey is? And I want to say probably, my daughter's 25 now. She had something bad happen to her when she was 14. So I would say, almost 10 years ago, I had to look at stuff. And I had to figure out, what am I doing and why am I doing it? And I had to make a choice to be emotionally present. And understand this, you don't just flip a switch, right? You're constantly working on, you're constantly checking yourself and checking in, acknowledging your wins and saying, am I still being the best version of myself? So it's been, 10 plus years, but still it's every day. My daughter and I were having a conversation the other day, and I think, okay, am I here? Right? And I thought I was there, but I know I wasn't because my responses weren't right. So I had to breathe a little bit, understand I was 25 once. Right? And so that's why I'm constantly checking in. I'm giving myself a pulse. Did I like what I said? And I'm not always throwing out answers right away, which we do as humans. I actually take time to breathe a little bit, and then say it. And more importantly, on that journey last year, I've really focused on actually listening to people and reflecting what they're saying. Because as you and I know, people talk at people.
Instead of listening for, and I see you in that transformational titan position as someone that's listening for things. to point out and pick out how best we can improve our journey and make people happy.
Absolutely. What happens, you know, we do these events, right? Everybody in that audience came there to hear something and find something out. How do you or I know what it is that they came here for unless we actually freaking listen, right? If we're out there preaching our agenda constantly, how are we even listening to them? And last night, I'm on a panel. I adjusted what I'm talking about to the questions because I want to make sure people acknowledge that they're in the right room, the right place, at the right time. And so for me to respect them, I have to respect myself. But more importantly, I really need to listen to why they came there, right? And that's part of being emotionally present.
And lastly, we both are building communities and brands. And the noise gets louder and louder.
What?
Exactly. The communities get bigger and more socially siloed for you in building your brand because you're really an executive. You're an entrepreneur. You now are a transformational titan, but you have to distinguish yourself in the marketplace. What are you doing as a brand beyond interviews to stand above frequency-wise as a brand to attract the people that you're able to attract?
Well, it's interesting because you've known me for a while. When I first did this, I had the wrong people around me.
Yeah.
We're all experts, and you're an expert at being David Meltzer. I'm an expert at being Alex Pakop. I forgot that.
Your job's easier.
Yeah, your job's easier. Well, yeah, exactly, because I'm Caucasian. But my point being is that I had people that were telling me they were the experts, right? And so I'm writing checks. It didn't feel right. And when I got back to what I felt, which was my heart, and when I was doing it unconditionally, it was easier. But when I was trying to tell people, this is who I am, you know, what you're doing is freaking wrong.
When I met you, I felt that.
Yeah, and so I had to learn because I was, even though I believed what I was saying, those people didn't want to hear it. So I was upsetting some people that have been in this space a long time. Human, I'm the new kid, I'm 60 years old, and I'm telling people, man, that's not cool what you're talking about. But now I was buying into their agenda.
Yeah.
Right? So I was taking all that energy, which is something that we try to protect, and focusing on what that person I believe was wrong had no value to my brand. So the more I focus on being the best version of Alex Pakop, and I make sure that I definitely don't hurt Alex Pakop every day, the brand's a lot easier. I still have to keep the noise out because there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of people telling me. But I know, for instance, I do last night's panel, and a bunch of people came up to me and said, thank you. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for sharing. So that's me, and I'm always going to be that version. And the brand morphs more and more as I start owning this, and I be more comfortable in my skin. Because being an emotional vessel, it is draining. But the more and more I get that acknowledgement about, you know, when your top guy comes up and say, hey, he got hair on his arm coming up, I know that the brand's getting fine-tuned. The brand keeps on growing and I'm honing it in because I'm learning.
Yeah, you've learned to know your frequency that does three things. It strengthens your signal, it widens your spectrum, so more people resonate with you,
yeah.
But it also gives greater clarity to who you are and where you are. And Alex Pakop, you've not only done it yourself, but now I love seeing how you're doing it for others. An unbelievable transformational titan, the incredible Alex Pakop, here with all the other celebrities, athletes, and entertainers, the biggest show on earth here at Jacob Javits Center. I'm David Meltzer, and this is Entrepreneurs The Flavor.